My redemption is not from Washington, D.C.
Right.
It's from heaven on high.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward. I want to echo what the pastor said. And by the way, if you missed Sunday school hour, you missed a great time in the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that you need to be here.
Amen.
Because there's a day that we need to know all we can about what's going on in this world and how we have to stand firm and tall for the Lord. But I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad you're here. But most of all, from the time I walked in this place a week ago Wednesday, I knew the Lord was here.
Amen.
A lot of places you go, and I'll be honest with you, it doesn't seem like the Lord's in that place. But I'm glad He's here this morning. And I trust that the Lord will meet the most pressing need that you have in your life and in your family and in the life of this church. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'll begin reading in verse 19. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. A church, I want you to know that we're living in very uncertain times. I believe Christianity and today's culture are on a collision course. And I believe we're at ground zero. I believe you and I, as God's children, as Christians, today, this hour, this very second, we're at ground zero. And we need to make correct choices. I think America, and that's why I say you missed a great Sunday school class, because it was talking about the very same theme. But I believe in America we've made some wrong choices.
Amen.
And the choices that we make affect not only us, but they affect a lot of other people.
Yes.
And especially our immediate family. And the Bible says for generations to come. Deuteronomy 5:9 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. And what that's talking about there, just the prior verse to that, was talking about when God said, have no other gods before me.
Right.
And I'm afraid America, the America that we're living in now, has a lot of other gods other than the great God Jehovah.
Yes.
And I don't believe that all the migration that we're so concerned about is about nationality and race, but I believe it's about false gods that are coming into our country.
Amen.
Now, I'm not getting into politics, and I'm not talking about that. But listen, the Bible goes on right there to say, I am a jealous God.
Amen.
Jehovah God is a jealous God. He wants nothing in our lives that takes a higher priority in our lives, in our family, in our churches, in this country, than God Almighty.
Amen.
Now listen to this. This is a scary thing, church. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me. Now your choices not only affect you, they affect your children, they affect your grandchildren, and they affect your great-grandchildren. This is our 40th year of evangelism. I've been saved a long time. I want to finish this journey well.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people are watching what you do. I've got a saying, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. In other words, talk's cheap.
Yes.
People watch what you do and what you say and how you act and where you go. So I want to finish well for lots of things, but I want to finish well for my family.
Amen.
I've got a wife of over 100, she and I have been married over 108 years. Well, yeah, 54 for her and 54 for me. I've got 4 sons, 4 great-daughter-in-laws, 16 grandchildren. One of them has gone on to be with the Lord. Don't have any great-grandchildren yet, but maybe one of these days. But I'm talking about all the way down to your great-grandchildren. And what's so great about this, there's a little girl that's running around up here named Ruby May. Named Ruby. We've got a granddaughter named Ruby May, about the same size. I saw her Wednesday night that we came in. Somebody hollered Ruby, and she was running across a parking lot. And it looked just like our granddaughter. I tell you what breaks my heart in America, church. What's going to happen with Ruby Mays? All the Ruby Mays aren't right here.
That's right.
All the Ruby Mays aren't in God's house. All the Ruby Mays are all over the place.
Yeah.
They're far from God. In the election of 2012, that's several years ago, young people under the age of 25, 33% didn't even believe there was a God.
That's right.
How long is it going to take that we become a godless society if we're not careful? Now, I'm sure you've heard the popular saying, what stays in Vegas, stays in Vegas. Church, I want you to know that it doesn't stay in Vegas. Things done in the dark of night are exposed in the light of day.
Yes.
And when we think we're doing things and getting away with it, we're not getting away with it.
That's right.
Bible says, be sure, help me now, your sins will find you out.
Right.
But some way, somehow, we think because we're a, quote, Christian nation, that we can do things, do whatever we want to do, and God's not going to judge that. I want you to know that's not so. Now, I want to present for your consideration what I call a spiritual state of the union of this great country of ours for 2018. Some examples of wrong choices that America has made. In 1970, there were only 2 STDs talked about. Now there's over 20 in our country. We don't even talk about them anymore. I'm talking about things that are awful, physically awful in our country. Pornography. I want you to know things viewed or listened to in private can devastate families.
Yes.
We're living in a day you can't turn the TV on. I'm talking about in prime time during the day, any time of day or night, you cannot turn it on without seeing something that's so vulgar, but we don't even pay attention anymore. It just comes right into our homes, right into our families. In America, the divorce rate is above 50% in the United States of America. And that's not including those that choose not to get married. Does anyone know what happened January 22nd, 1973? I think some of the men who were here the other night remember that. Does anybody here remember what happened January 22nd, 1973? There's one hand. Several hands. Now this will give you a clue where we are in the United States of America. This will give you a clue, church. A heartbreaking clue. That's when abortion was legalized in the United States of America. And we don't even remember it. Today, since January 22nd, 1973, there's been over 60 million babies aborted in our country. I'm talking about a State of the Union of our country. 60 million babies have been aborted in the United States. And that's just the ones they keep record of in the United States of America. Does anybody know what happened June 26, 2015? I'm glad you came, brother. That's exactly right. Legalize something that God calls an abomination in our country. In our country. Legalize something that calls sodomy in the Bible in the United States of America. There used to be a song that had words like, "No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. I want you to know, someone knows.
Amen.
And someone cares."
Amen.
Now I believe you and I as Christians, I believe we know and we know we talk about these things. But I'll be honest with you. The answer is not going to come from Washington, D.C. It's not going to be a trickle-down answer. This answer for America is not going to trickle down from our government. It starts right here, right today, in this church, with each of us. We have a responsibility, not only to each other, not only to our families, not only the church to the living God, but to God Almighty, to make the right choices. And that's what the preacher was talking about this morning during Sunday school. We've got a responsibility to make right choices. And I want to talk about several of those this morning. And I won't be long. I'm not a long-winded preacher. And if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. First of all, we must choose to be humble. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 6. While you're turning there, I'll give you the first several words of that. It says, "But he giveth more grace." Wow. I don't know about you, but I love that thing about grace. I love the fact that He gives us more grace. He's got new grace for us every day. What a privilege we have. We have the very Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. What a great privilege it is to live in this dispensation. And I know it's hard. It's the most difficult time that I've ever seen to be in the ministry. In the 40 years I've been in evangelism, but I believe with all my heart, this is the greatest time for you and I to be a Christian. You say, why? Because people don't know what to do. They don't know how they got to where they are, and they don't know where they're going. And we're living in a day where there's no common sense. We're living in a day where the Bible says that evil would look good and good would look evil, and that's the day that we're in right now. And I tell churches, stop talking about the end times and start living the end times. Because we're living them right now. You and I are living the end times. I'm not a predictor of date and time, but I'm convinced that we're living the end times right now in this country. I believe this election, I believe we're a fork in the roads right now. I'm not a politician, but I'm saying choices you make, choices, we're talking about choices, godly choices. I'm not talking about which party it is. I'm talking about godly choices, and we know what godly choices are.
Amen.
But James goes on to say, "Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness." I believe we're in a time that we need to be sober and vigilant, because the devil is a roaring lion, is going around seeking who he may devour.
Amen.
And we're seeing it every day.
Right.
I'm not talking about which political stripe you're in. I'm talking about every day we're seeing violence that's unreal in our country. And I think if we're not very careful, it's not going to be long that what we call religious freedom in our churches, I'm talking about fundamental church, God preaching, Bible preaching churches, we're going to be in the same situation that other churches are today if we're not very careful. A lot of places we go to, and I don't know how it is here, a lot of places we go to that there's so many people that are carrying guns now in the house of God that if something happens, I'd have to hit the deck because I'd be afraid to get hit by friendly fire. And that's a shame that we have to come to that, but we have to come to that to be able to survive. I'm talking, we're living in a wicked day. We need to be sober. We need to be on guard. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now, resist means to battle or war against. From the very beginning, God was totally committed to the failure of pride. And I'm afraid America has become so prideful on who they are, they've forgotten about God. They've forgotten where God brought us from these last 242 years as a Christian country. And I don't have time this morning to go into that, but I could show you how our government, different branches of government, right out of the Bible, word for word. And how our founders, how it was, they talk about separation of church and state. Talked about how it's not what they're trying to say now, but it was to keep the state out of church's business. But things are so turned around today. But God hated pride. Look in Isaiah. Familiar portion of Scripture. Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Verse 12. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? Now listen to this. For thou hast said in thine heart. All this thing is heart things. And the thing they're saying are social issues today. All the things I've rehearsed to you already, they're not social issues. Abortion is not a social issue.
Right.
Gay marriage is not a social issue. Right. These things are not, they're spiritual issues. They're spiritual issues. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now listen to this. I will be like the Most High. Now this is a God-created angel that was now trying to be like God. And I'm afraid we're living in a country that thinks we are almost gods. Look what verse 15 says. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I'll be honest with you, church. With the abortion thing, and I told churches when we legalized same-sex marriage that something was going to happen in America. Either California's going to fall in the ocean, or that volcano in Colorado is going to erupt, or something's going to happen. And it seems like things are happening everywhere, every day. I mean, every day, every moment. Man, you get up the next day and it's something worse than the last day. As far as we can tell, that this is the first time God's creation rebelled against Him was Satan in heaven. Even before man rebelled in the Garden of Eden. How are you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? Evidently, he was created with a free will and he made some wrong choices. So I think each of us have to make some right choices today. And get rid of the pride that we have. Preacher was talking about coming to altar. There used to be a time people would come, Lord speaks to their heart, they would just come to the altar. I mean, I've seen them come during announcements. I've seen them come during song services. We get down, you got to sing "Just As I Am," mm-hmm. about 3 or 4 verses before somebody thinks they can come talk to the Lord.
Right. Come on, preach.
People ask me all the time, what's the biggest thing you've seen, biggest change you've seen in your 40 years of evangelism? I'll tell you, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, is the use of the altar. Mm-hmm. Used to be when we were talking about families or somebody being lost or families in distress or things going on, people would come weeping. I'm talking about weeping and crying. Men would come crying over their families. Women would come and the mascara would be running. And you know what I'm talking about, that people, our prayer list, it's praying for each other. It's not praying for the people who are lost. I'm not against praying for each other. Amen. We need each other's prayer. But I'm saying that we've forgotten about the people that are lost without Christ. There's 8 billion people on planet Earth, and the great majority of those people are lost without Christ.
Bless the Lord.
Thine heart was lifted up. Ezekiel 28. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Talking about Satan. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. He said in my heart, I don't need God. I'm my own God. I'm afraid that's where America is today. So we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We're not as strong and as tough as we really think we are. There's nothing good in each of us without the Lord. Wow. We must obey the Lord. Jesus obeyed His Father all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. In His concluding prayer, when He was praying before going to the cross, in Luke 22:41, said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Satan said he wanted his will done. God said, I'm not going to let that happen. He's not going to let that happen done. It's got to be the will of God. You must understand that anything we do must start with the will of God.
Amen.
And it's amazing. It's amazing. And I know it's hard for me to comprehend now, but I'm reading things now that they're opening up more and more every time I read them. I think I've read that over and over and over. But you read it and it opens up and it just blossoms. Knowing who He is more important than knowing what we're to do. If you know who He is, then He'll show you what you're supposed to do. Amen. So we need to obey. And then we need to be thankful. 2 Timothy 3. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men, now listen to these. This is America on 28 October 2018. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, now listen to this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Therefore, the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, they used to say this, I haven't heard this in a long time, that the church has become too godly and, too worldly, and the world has become too churchy. And that's today. You can go around and talk to people. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. But they don't profess Christ. They just profess Him and they don't do anything with it. If they're a Christian, there's no fruit. But then the church, so-called church, has become so worldly. I predict that churches are become like box stores. Like you got the big Walmarts and the big Lowe's and Home Depots. I'm afraid if we're not careful, they're going to be just big churches. They're going to have something for everybody to do. More options, like these big stores. They're going to give you a feel-good message. Psychology. No preaching like you heard even in Sunday school. So where's America going to be? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. 28 October 2018, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, I don't know about you, when I was going to school, all the way through school, all the way through college, I always liked multiple choice questions. But what I liked best, if I had the answers, or if it was an open book test. Now look at this. This can't be any more clear than it is right here in this verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. There's the question and there's the answer. Why? That both thou and thy seed may live. That'll affect you, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. And I want to say, one of the saddest things to see is when people come and a child's in trouble, grandchild's in trouble, or great-grandchild's in trouble. It's so sad. I don't want to see that happen to any of us. Both thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey His voice, thou mayest cleave unto Him. For the Bible says, for He is thy life, and the length of thy days. 28 October 2018. It's up to us. I know we have a voice on the 6th of November to vote. But that's just a small part. I think that's a small part. Some of y'all got families in trouble. Some of you got families in real distress. There may be somebody here that's lost without Christ. You may be here and never had a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not about you being a member of a church. It's not about you being baptized. It's not about how much you give when an offering plate passes by. It's not how good you are. It's not how bad you are. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to get saved. You'll never be the husband, the father, the wife, the mother. You'll never be the right young person if you don't know the Lord. And He made such a way. Loretta was singing about because He went to Calvary. And I'm glad it didn't end in His death and burial. I'm glad there was a resurrection. Amen. And He's on the right hand of the Father right now to intercede for all of us. If you've got somebody in your family that's lost, you need to come and pray. It's just that simple. You care about your grandchildren and I don't know who Ruby Mae brought. Ruby, I keep calling her Ruby Mae. That's our granddaughter. That's our granddaughter. But Ruby, she's full of life. She's full of life. There's a lot of rubies out there. You need to come. You need to come and pray for your church, your family. Pray for our country. It's not going to be long. It's going to be an election. Amen. We need to make right choices in America. I want to see families get right with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand. Lord, it's going to begin to sing. The Lord, speak into your heart. Step out right now. Come and get around the altar. Just talk to the Lord. Maybe husbands and wives. Maybe families need to come. Just talk to the Lord.
Left His throne in glory to come to earth as mortal man, and grew up a simple carpenter, though He was the great I Am. He was mocked, betrayed, and found guilty in spite of all the facts. Then He walked the way of sorrow with your sin upon His back. What else does He have to do to show you that He cares? Look at His wounded side and face. See the scars He chose to bear. Willingly He suffered.
Think about how much
and
He loved
out His life for you. He gave it all. Oh, what else does He have to do?
He can help your family. He can help your church. He can
help
America.
On Friday, 3 days He rolled the stone away. His risen life gives you the power to overcome the grave. He's prepared a glorious mansion.
Think about it.
And your name is on the door. Heaven waits with all blessings, you'll call Jesus Lord. Oh, what else does He have to do to show you that He cares? Look at His wounded side and hands. See the scars He chose to bear.
Seen.